That one I'm not in doubt at all. People just practice religion. Let's see what we can do to get a blessing out. They can be very zealous, but let's see what we can do to get a blessing out. But the real love for God is not in the hearts of the people. It's not. That one I'm persuaded about. And in Christianity, let me say this to you. They came to Jesus, where should we worship? When they met that woman at the well. Where should we worship? Is it in this mountain or the temple? Jesus said that, listen, the time for that has passed. Right now, God is seeking for those who will worship him how? In spirit and in truth. That statement is very, very deep. Of course, we know it has to be coming from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. But what was he saying? That the worship of God is not just what I can do to get something out of him. It must be a thorough conversion of the spirit. So that what Jesus was saying in effect is that, so, and that's what Christianity is. You know, I've heard people say to me that a good Christian is always in church on Sunday. Listen, it has nothing to do with whether you are good or bad. Most people go to church on Sunday, depending on the religion of the world where you are living. When a man saw me, we were discussing, said that we were trying to describe redemption camp. So I told him, I know where it is. Ah, he's like, what do you mean you know where it is? You don't know the place, you just know where it is. I said, when I'm traveling, I pass it on the road, I see it. Ah! He said, this boy, I've always wondered the kind of Christian that you are. Why? I had never been to redemption camp. As far as he was concerned, every Christian went to redemption camp. And the funny part was, it never crossed my mind that I needed to go there. I didn't think it was a pilgrimage site. It's not a bad place. Are you getting my point? It's just at that time, it did not cross my mind. I just thought that, well, if you're a member of Redeem and there's something you people are doing there, it's good. And if you guys have teaching tips, let me listen to it. Just by the way, I thought it was an evangelistic outreach to reach those who were lost and those who needed emergency breakthrough and stuff like that. And since I did not qualify for any of those things, it didn't cross my mind that I was required to show up. But a man looked at me and said, ah, you mean you're a Christian and you haven't been there? And that's the attitude a lot of people have. And Jesus said that it is not a necessary attitude. Under the old covenant, they had to come to the temple 3 times a year. Every male Israelite had to show up before the temple of God 3 times every year. Then a time came, Jesus said, it's no longer necessary. That what we want now is that if they don't leave their bedrooms, do you get my point? From there, they can worship God effectively. That's what he was saying. That's what they were saying. That from their bedrooms, they can worship as well as anybody inside the temple. Like I say all the time, people say that it's a church. I say there's no building today that's a church. None. All of them are convenient gathering places. So being solemn when you get to inside a building that has marble doesn't mean anything. Your solemnity should start from home. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So Jesus said simply to them, the time has come. We must worship God in spirit. Now, I'm not emphasizing that spirit. That's what we're talking about. Go back to that Psalm 32. He said, how blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Please understand this. That is, they have prescribed others for doing things, but he has broken them. Yet he is forgiven. Whose sin is covered. He said, how blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. That is, even though he does it wrong, God overlooks it. But this is the underlying thing in the life of this man, in whose spirit there is no deceit. In whose spirit there is no deceit. The man who God overlooks all his issues. The woman who God says, even though she didn't do it well, let's overlook it. Is the person who takes heed to his or her spirit. And in that spirit, there is no deceit. Listen, one of the greatest blessings God has given me, as far as I'm concerned, that I can think of in recent years, is the ability to critically appraise every single thing I do. Let me give you an example. If I walk down my corridor, this is going to make you laugh. If I get to my office, I walk down the corridor, and I shout an instruction to somebody, I quickly ask myself, what was that point? Is it to show everybody around that you are the boss? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Are you feeling guilty? Yeah, I ask myself. And because, listen, as human beings, things like that happen. It's not right. It's the pride of life. You understand what I'm saying? So, it's not right. It's not right. It's not good. What I do is that, that's not even the issue, but I am careful. And you know the way I do it is, I instantly appraise it, and then I tell myself, that was what you did. No, that's not what you did. If that's what you did, I said, don't do it. I just tell myself that, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. Don't do it again. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the greatest gifts that God has blessed me with in the last many years. Let me not say a few years. The ability to critically appraise the reason why I'm doing anything I'm doing. Anything at all. Who I'm talking to on the phone, who I'm not talking to. I was discussing with Israel and Co. The other day, that's a few days ago. I had to go and see my CMD to put pressure on him to do something. Before I went, for this, I kept on thinking, are you fighting your own battle or you are not? I had to settle it to myself that no is the right thing to do. It had to do with an appointment. And I just want to tell him, please, sir, you can't appoint this person. Yeah, and my reason, you know, I thought about that. Are you angry? I said, no, I'm not angry. I said, why are you doing that? I said, because it's the right thing to do. I cannot see somebody who's about to spoil things, and I'll keep quiet that, you understand my point? And being the man in charge, for goodness sake, I'll be listened to. I have to walk up and say, please, sir, whatever you do, make sure this doesn't happen. And these are my reasons. He listened, he said, oh, I agree with you. Please, make sure I'm informed all the time so I do what is right at the appropriate time. I said, thank you, sir. And I left him. But I had to ask myself, why are you doing this? Are you angry with somebody? I said, no, for goodness sake, I'm not. Was I ever angry? Yes. Is that why I'm doing this? I said, no. Why am I doing it? Because I am aware. I said, if I don't, it will be because I'm just being negligent and I don't care. If I really care, I have to do this. Listen, I had to settle that. I had to settle it with myself before I had comfort in making those decisions. It said, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven, in whose spirit there is no deceit. One thing that as a believer, it must that is to yourself. Remember I told you something earlier. He that sows to the flesh, will from that flesh reap corruption. That is, the actions you are taking because of your personal interest will only impoverish you in this life eventually. That's what he was saying. When you do things only because of what you are going to gain and not care about the general good, at the end of the day, this is the law of God. You will lose out. It's the law of God. There's one, you know, there's this one I repeat everywhere I go to preach when there are young people. I say, a woman says, I want to marry a man who can take care of me. I say, are you a problem in life? Are you a project? A man will just wake up and say, let me look for a problem to be solving. It's a wrong way for a Christian to think. Let me tell you something. When the Bible says those that worship God will worship him in spirit, every action of your life as a Christian is supposed to be worship. Worship is not just to bow down and raise hands. Oh Lord, we worship you. You that majestic and majestically exalted, the most heavenly, unapproachable light. You that enthroned upon the circles of this earth. Listen, whether the earth is circular or flat, you don't know. You get my point? It doesn't have a real meaning to your system. Those who said those things, they were the things they saw. So it's not the big English you are speaking that makes it worship. We just worship you. That is good, though. It has its own place. I hope you are getting my point. But true Christian worship, that's what Jesus was saying, is in every moment of your life. The way you walk, the way you conduct your ministry, the word worship that's appropriate for Christian is service. That's one of the meaning of the word worship, especially in the Old Covenant, that's under the Hebrew. To worship means to serve. It's not just to sing and raise hands. That's one part of it. But to worship means to serve. That is, he died for all, so that those who live will no longer live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose again on their behalf. So Jesus said, you must worship in spirit and in truth. I'm saying that every action of the believer is a form of worship. Therefore, the spirit behind everything we are doing, it's critical we examine it. Truth, let me say that quickly. And I said last time that the major problem in this world today is that truth is dead. I watch diplomats. I've been hearing for a long time that all they do is lie. That if they say maybe, they mean no. If they say yes, it means maybe. That they never say yes. That's the problem of the world today. Anytime I sit down and I'm watching presidents talk, either Franco Hollande or Barack Obama especially, I wish that somebody would have the boldness to tell the truth. They will be able to solve a lot of problems on this earth. But they don't tell the truth. They don't tell the truth. They say what is popular. They say what people want to hear. They say what will increase their approval rating. They never tell the truth. They had, that is, to hear a world leader open his mouth and say things the way they really are. They are afraid to offend somebody. One man somewhere does something wrong. Obama will come and apologize to the Arab world. Because one out of 300 million Americans who's supposed to be in prison did something wrong. Why? He doesn't believe that apology. He's just afraid. Was it Sweden? I forgot it. Was it Denmark? Yeah, it was Denmark. Their president that time said, I'm not apologizing to anybody. I didn't draw the cartoon. I don't know whether many of you remember. That man then, after they drew the cartoon, there were riots everywhere. That was one man that refused to apologize. He said, I didn't draw the cartoon. The nation did not commission anybody to draw the cartoon. And this is a country where we say anything we like. So the man said what he liked in the cartoon, and I'm not going to say sorry. And I wished more people would have said it. But no. When you see that American president, the guy just has a way of annoying me these days. Just be telling lies. Can't a man just have, you know, something you stand for? You bend every way. That's what it means to be spineless. Listen, let me forget world leaders. I'm talking to Christians. The important thing about life is, in whose spirit there is no deceit. Anything you do in life, number one, make sure you understand the spirit behind any action you are taking. That's when you know whether you're a good person or a bad person. Remember, love for God is not any day I see God, I'm going to kiss him. He doesn't want your kiss. I hope you get my point. All those who appear before him, they fall down. So that's not how we express our love for God at all. Love for God is obedience to his expressed truth. That's what it is. That's what love for God is. If a man loves me, he keeps my word. That was what Jesus said. What am I going to explain? In everything I'm doing, my spirit, you understand the meaning of the word spirit now? What is pushing me? Is it in agreement with the word of God? That's what love for God is. That's how to worship in spirit. That's how to serve in spirit. You know, I seem to be on a personal crusade, but I think it's a God-anointed, commissioned crusade. I will continue my crusade. That is why when you come out to give money and what you are thinking of is what you will get, God doesn't collect it. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you understood this, say amen.
Amen.
Because the spirit is what God is checking. When I come out and I hold that envelope, either you raise it up or you put it down, whatever way you want to put in the offering basket, God, what are you thinking of? I don't know whether you're getting my point. What are you thinking of? Are you saying this word that's been preached is most certainly costing money? I told you once a young man came to see me. I told the story in the book, who will pay for this? He said, he needed me to help him with accommodation and business connections. I said, how did we meet? He said, he heard me on radio. Do you know how much I pay so you can hear me on radio free? He was looking at me. And now you have come all the way from a back leaky. Your hand is empty. No bag. Nothing. You came with open hands. I should come and put inside again. You know, thank God for self-control. Amen. I broadcast message from Enugu to Abakaliki. You've been hearing it for months free. Never asked you for a dime. And you show up, you didn't come with pineapples. You don't have to be rich. At least pineapple, not there, Abakaliki. Yam, they rice. Locally grown rice. You're sure, say, okay, I need accommodation and business connection. So by the time I'm through with you, what you thought you had, you will lose it. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now back to what I was saying. So, the man is bringing an offering. What is he thinking? That's what God is saying. Is he saying that, no, this ministry I've been partaking of, it costs money? Or, God has blessed me like this. How come everybody is not blessed like that? And the fellow has an understanding that God says, some gather much, some gather little. So as to be able to help those who gather little, some have to gather much. He said, all right, from much I have gathered, let me give to those who gather little. That's how to bless people. Are you following what I'm going to explain? These are the things he's thinking about. And God will accept his offering. Paul said that, yes. You know this one we shout, my God shall supply all my needs. It was a prayer he prayed for those who were thinking about him and the ministry. Please, I hope you are getting the point I'm making. So somebody thinks like that. That was the offering that Paul said was acceptable unto God. A sweet-smelling savour. But the one we give these days, God doesn't eat it. It's rotten. It smells bad. Because once you are bringing the money, say, this money, as you are going inside there, you will locate the best wife and bring her back. So you drop the offering and God doesn't touch it. Because what is the spirit? What is the spirit? That's what we're talking about. What is the spirit? The seed, so that our lives can walk in a manner pleasing to God, is love. What does that mean? Every seed, not a seed now, every action, the spirit behind every action of the Christian must be love. Even as a businessman. You know, just to educate you, my friend, just before I put up my phone, when I came, before I put up my phone, he sent me a message from the U.S., one of our very good friends, my personal friend. You know, it was supposed to help me do something, pay for our new server, actually. So I wanted it up immediately. So I said, please help me pay. But you know, God is always helping people. Say amen.
Amen.
We had located the particular one we wanted, how much it cost and everything. I just said, Chooks, please, pay this amount of money for me. He said, please, I'm in a hotel. So I cannot use the internet to use my card because it's not secure. So can you wait till Monday? I said, okay, don't bother. I will pay from here. Well, the problem was that when I had to move money to that account so that, you know, it takes about a few hours on a working day for any money you put into a dollar card account to become active online. So I said, all right, I'll do it myself. So we did that. The interesting part, I thought I got a good deal. Now, this is where I'm going. They said, pay $900. So I'm fine. We're going to pay $900. I filled out the information to click pay. Then I suddenly saw something. You tick agreement and terms. And I decided to read it. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what they said? In small print. By clicking this, you have accepted this agreement. I looked at the agreement. Your $900 is for 1 year. Immediately after, you will pay $1,600, which will be taken automatically from this card without informing you. Now I draw back small. I said, my God in heaven. Now I sent my friend a message. I said, oh boy, amen, wow. The guy said, when you are doing business, you have to watch your back. And that is something that must never be said about Christians. That when dealing with you, I have to watch my back. Why did they do like that? They gave a very good price. We went for it, but it was an enticement. By the time we now settled down, did some more research, got a better deal for a lower price. This time around, I checked every use magnifying glass. Go across everything there. Now, I'm not going to bring out an issue here. I think I was reading the book, Knockout Entrepreneur by George Foreman. And these were the things George Foreman addressed. I read the book Henry Ford, that is The Life of Henry Ford, by Henry Ford himself. And the same thing that the man addressed. And that was what made him successful. His own aim, listen to this, was to be a blessing to the person buying. Sometimes people reading those things, they think it's their type that wrote it. So they want to say, how was it manipulating people to make money? And they will find it because they are looking for it, especially since the man became very rich. But this was a man who had no competition, zero competition, but he kept on dropping prices. They now say, he knew he would sell more. But that was not his reason. His reason was simple. I have to give every man a car. Every person who wants a car should be able to afford it. First cars he made were going for over $2,000 of those days, not now. It's like selling each car maybe for $500,000. Now, he said this is not good. He kept on researching until he found out how he could make them cheaper. Eventually, they dropped to like $600. He kept on dropping it. Then when the money kept on coming in, he said, why should a man... He said, a good workman is the one that's satisfied. For that reason, he ensured that he doubled the minimum wage, more than doubled it. He said, what am I doing with the money if I'm earning it and everybody can participate in enjoying it? People say, a man knew that if he paid well, they will work better. You know, they keep on selfishly interpreting everything he did. He even insisted your house had to be clean. He had people inspecting the quarters that, no, you're not going to raise children in filth if you're working for him. Before government started things like health insurance and all of that, he had them. That everybody that, in fact, this is how you know. He said, as you know, he started this, at least from the knowledge I have, this warranty on cars. Henry Ford didn't want you to change your car ever. His plan was that buy a car, use it till you die. And he said it as much. So the car had to be good. His own is that, why should you buy another one? What's wrong with the last one I sold to you? Did it spoil? If it spoiled, he wants to know why it's spoiling. So that the subsequent ones don't spoil. So he made sure that he has service stations everywhere. And read this book, Henry Ford. When I read that book, I said, for goodness sake, why are business people not still practicing this to today? It is simple. They are used to sowing to the flesh. That is why a man will use small letters to trap me into paying him $900, thinking he's giving me a good deal, not knowing I'm signing up to pay almost double that without being asked. And once the money is zapped out of your card, it's gone. They will show you the agreement that you agreed. And he knows I did not agree. But he had a document to show that I agreed. As a business person, never ever give your client something you are not persuaded will be good for him. You're doing business not about you first. No, it's not about you first. It's about the person you are supposed to be blessing. Do you get the point I'm making?
Yes,
when he said, walk by the Spirit, that's what Paul was saying. We started with number one, the Spirit that loves the Word of God. That was the first one I started with. Always wanting the instructions of God in his or her life. Therefore, the fellow, all right, takes the simple action of reading the book. And that is what Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. This word that I'm commanding you today, Moses said, shall be first in your heart and your mind, and you shall teach and impress them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. That's Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. You will talk about them every day. That is, my life is a worship. It's not, worship is not just I wave my hand. That is just the expression, let me use the word, the climatic expression. That is, occasionally you enter into a climax of worship. But every day, every moment, you are doing a ministry. Why are you doing ministry? I always like to talk to preachers. For those of you who are preachers or planning to be preachers, you must know that the major problem in today's Christianity is preachers, not the congregation. It is the preacher. So if you are not a preacher, you are safe small. Next time you see a preacher, you say, you poor have our problems. Yes, what I'm telling you is not a joke. If you go and study, my people perish for lack of knowledge. God said that because you priests rejected knowledge, therefore I will reject you from being my priest. In Malachi, I said the tongue of a priest should preserve knowledge. They were the problems. When Jesus looked, he had compassion on the multitude. He said they were like sheep without what?
Shepherd.
The problem was shepherd. The problem was shepherd. So if you're a preacher and you're listening to this, listen. Don't ever preach a message that benefits you personally or benefits your ministry. One thing I want preachers, don't do it. Listen, if I wanted to do something, what I always do personally, I finish the message and I'll tell you, please, oh, I would like this one done. But once I open that book, what I would like done must never, ever come out. Never. It's not allowed. No matter how good it is, I don't know what I get my point. Even if you think it's good, it's not allowed. Even when Paul was praying for those who gave him offerings in Philippians chapter 4, he said, the truth is that I did not even desire the gifts. He said, why? Even when I had nothing, I had learned a spiritual secret of being content in whatever circumstance that I find myself. That is, I learned the method. One brother told me something that a man came somewhere to stay overnight in a house. So one woman led him somewhere, said, you can stay here. I said, if you need anything, call me. I'll tell you how to manage without it. I don't know what I get. So you can stay here. If you need anything, call me. I'll explain to you how to do without it. So if you call, say, please, the room is kind of cold. Can you turn on the heater? Sir, no heater here. Get under that bed. You see something, wrap yourself inside three times and stay on one spot. I will show you how to do without it. And Paul said, I've learned how to do without things. I've learned how to manage my resources. I used to say this those days. One of the things God taught me early in life also. Those days when we first started, we finished NYC. I was working in Lagos then, in Luth. And the salary was abysmal. It was bad. It was poor. Very, very low. But I was one of the most joyful human beings you ever met. And I had a reputation for it. You never hear me whine. No, that was one thing I didn't know how to do. Whine and complain. The nation is bad. I don't know what's going on. The Vacha is stupid. You never heard it one day from my mouth. In fact, you never heard me criticize the government. I preached against it. The day General Sani Abacha died, I almost fought my friends who rejoiced. And I gave them scriptures to show that what they were doing was bad. What did he do to you? That Saul did not do more to David. Yet when Saul died, David mourned and killed the man who mistakenly pretended like he was the one that killed Saul when he was not. And the ones that went and killed Saul's son and came to tell David. David said, the one who even just told the story that I killed the man who was dying, I killed him. How much more you that now went and killed an unarmed man in his house? He killed them too. I refused. Listen, I was a joyful man. And one of the secrets was as little as I had, I learned how to live without the balance that I did not have. So I've told the story many times. People said, are you going to buy a car? I said, no. I said, why not? I said, I can't afford it. What's wrong with you? I mean, say, are you not believing God? I'm believing God to be at peace. There's a way you should use your faith. Some people use faith to create confusion. You can't fuel a car, you are believing God for the car. No problem. Every morning, I see it. You don't need to be seen. Go up to the road, you will see plenty. Don't go to some of your road. Say, I see it. And the prayer becomes a burden. I don't know what I get my point. It becomes a burden. Someone said, draw it on the wall. I've told you, those are your pictures on the wall. Go and tear them. What did I say? Tear them. Christians, when they receive blessings, most of the time, they're not even looking for it. And tear those nonsense diagrams on your wall. Use your faith, first of all, to be content. That is, Father, in the name of Jesus, as I'm trekking today, I command my shoe not to tear. That's where you are. That's the kind of faith you need. Said this you. I give you the anointing of the wilderness. You will move from Egypt to promised land. And you will not wear out. You will speak to the shoe. I'm telling you. I told you my trick. Let me talk to young people. Ask my wife. She met me wearing only white shirts. So why? I said, there was one beautiful day by white shirts. Whether I had 2 or 10, you will never know. They're all white. And number 2, they always look nice. Once you sprinkle small starch and iron it, and you wear it. And I had one ally those days. One of the Hebrews, I think was a, is it the one that died, the one that was a minister. He wore only white too. So I said, you see, big men wear white. For 2 different reasons anyway. Deceiving myself, you know what I'm trying to say. But the point was that it was one way by which I was content with my circumstance. I didn't used to go anywhere. They say, you know, my own was bad in that if you offer me an apple, I didn't used to eat. Say why? I said, the amount of utility I derive from it cannot justify the cost. Eat your apple if you enjoy it that much. I said, I'd rather eat mango and orange. No, he said, why? I said, because I couldn't understand the cost. You're paying me 6,000 naira a month, you're selling the apple for 40 naira. Why should I eat it? You want me to die and go to hell? That was just my own. One day, one guy came selling card, dinner card. I remember that time I was earning 12,000 naira a month. I remember very well. The dinner for 2 was 6,000. You know, if I remember, there was one lady that was with me that day. One of my colleagues were talking. When the guy came, I was offering, I said, anybody buys this, working here, we die in poverty. That was my judgment. She said, why are you so hard? I said, you take half of your salary to go and eat one night? He said, but some of you are thinking it. What do you call it? They poured an alabaster jar of ointment on Jesus, and it was 300 denarii, which was almost a whole year's wages for an earning person. I said, good. You forget that they had the ointment in the house. They were not normal people working for 1 denarius a day. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say there. If you can buy perfume and keep at home for 300, that is into this wage, for 600,000 naira, you obviously have some money. It was Judah that had a problem with it. Mary and co didn't have any problem with it. Yes, maybe they wanted to be managing it small, you know, drop small, you know, those kind of, those days, there's this perfume that's called opium. I don't remember, just, thing would smell everywhere. Maybe they wanted to be doing it like opium, maybe, we don't know. But the point is that they had it. So that day I said, you want to sell me card to go and eat? There was one joke I watched on TV. One obey guy and his wife. They just came from dinner. The guy had his face squeezed like this. The wife was very happy. It was a very nice dinner. The guy just squeezed his face. So the woman said, this was not now. This was, I watched like over 10 years ago. I think I was in Lagos. Yes, more than 10 years ago. So the woman would say, ah, that was very nice outing. And then the man would say, 14,000 naira. Anytime they would say, the man would say, 14,000 naira. And the woman said, it was nice, it was unique, something different. But then he finished saying it, the man was sitting down looking at the sky. 14,000 naira. This everything. Finally, the woman said, okay, please, I want to go to the toilet. The guy said, eh? He dropped everything. He said, which toilet? And the woman said, I'm pressed. He said, like 14,000 naira. Nobody is shitting in this house for 1 week. It's 14,000 naira, you won't go to the toilet. Ah, is it here? Now what? The woman said, lie, you won't go to the toilet. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. People are just making it. Said, ah, I learned how to do some things. Just carry your eye, come out. Don't look at it. That's what Paul was saying. Always looking, creating big projects for yourself that you now have to fight to solve. It's not the will of God. The first thing you do with your faith is use your faith to be content in your circumstance. The food is not plenty. So I went there the other day, they were using sausage. Listen, go and buy ice fish. There's a way you will roast it, it will taste better than sausage. You know that?
Yes.
And in case it's lacking any nutrients, don't worry about it. Put your hand over it. In the name of Jesus, any molybdenum or titanium that's not inside this food, I command you to come and enter. I receive it with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, by the time you finish, your case will be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you show up, you'll be looking shinier, you know what I'm saying, than those who are eating plenty. That's what faith is for. Don't be using your faith to be receiving. Right now, I receive a trip to Dubai. I receive it. Say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to watch TV and I'm content. I command happiness to be inside my soul as I'm staring at the bush behind my house. I'm telling you, it's not National Geographic. It's not inside a bush. Hey, yeah, there. Warning about DSTV. Ooh, there's live animal planet behind your house. No, it's true. For a long time, I refused to pay for DSTV. Why? I said, listen. The proportion is taken out of my income cannot justify staying at the screen. Like, I know they pay. It was only when God had increased me very well. I can't gauge them. Say, now change the DSTV now. And I'll give them small. Listen, all this on listen, you know, this thing is in the mind. I hope you know that. One day, went for a course when I was a medical student. So I was inside the bush, you know, Ogbuna, you know, just in the village and all of that. I said, let's go back to where we're staying. One community, UBTH had an outpost there. So one of my friends, Obiora, said something which I'll never forget. He said, hey, Banky, where are you hurrying to? He said, these are things that, as we were sitting down under a tree in the village, just watching, just not doing nothing. He said, these are things that white men pay money to come and see. You are seeing it live now, free. Where are you all rushing to? I don't know what I get my point. Some of you are despising. Some people are paying money to come and see it. When you go to a village, for my friends, when he first came back from UK, he and his family, as a young boy, one day, he and his brother saw lizard. Lizard. Agama lizard. Agama, agama. He didn't know when he started running after it. His brother followed him. They jumped over a fence into somebody else's compound. That was when he knew that they were in trouble. Because they saw a lizard. You've been seeing lizard every day. How much have you rejoiced? That's the point I'm making. Better bless God for that rat in your household. It's Animal Planet. Free DSTV. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me just close my message, please. I just want to explain something here. Now listen, one of the major things to do with your faith is to be content. That's it. You use your faith to be content. You use your faith to what? Be content. And Paul said, that's why I went into all of that. I digress a lot there, but this is the point. Paul said that I'm content. I've learned how to live my life, whether you give me money or not. He said, but I rejoiced when I received your gifts. Not because of what was going to add to me, but because of what it will add to you. That's the point I'm making. As a preacher, never do anything that's not adding to the people listening to you. Never. Never. It's the spirit of faith. It's the spirit of love. That is how you sow the seed that makes it possible for you to obey God in great matters tomorrow. You take heed to your spirit. That's what I'm talking about. In whose spirit he says, there is no deceit. You must be honest with yourself. I'll discuss this again later. Everything you are doing in life, go down to the spirit. Why am I doing it? I want to be able to make sure that my tomorrow is secure. I say, but you are disobeying the word of God. You are disobeying the word of God. He said, take note of for tomorrow. That's what it means, to walk by the spirit. That's what Paul was talking about. We'll conclude it next time. I hope you are blessed today. I hope you are blessed today. I just bow down and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Let us worship him.